It's time for Growing Hope, the show determined to grow up hearts open to pursue the extraordinary! Because you are extraordinary! And now, live from a little cabin in the woods, nestled along Big Spring Creek, it's your host, Catherine Lang!
Hello there, and welcome to Growing Hope, where we're finding our unique ways to live our best lives, one little bit at a time. Today's little bit, it's all about building encouragement for your whole being. I am Catherine Lang, your resident Hope Smith, dream igniter, and word warrior. I share a little bit of hope with a dash of twisted encouragement. So I'm just having fun, making friends, and finding ways to be relentlessly helpful, utilizing some wordplay, really bad dad puns, and some off quotes. You know, when you quote them just a little bit wrong, just enough to annoy the people around you. So we have been walking through this process of growing lives encouraged. We're living encouraged lives by investing in the possibility thinking, the positives, the hope, the dream growing. We started first by understanding the fundamentals of encouragement, which simply encouragement, all it is in, which is putting in courage, putting in courage to the hearts and minds of ourselves and the people around us. And then we talked a little bit about the power of encouragement and how encouragement can quite literally change the world. Because encouragement is essential to living your best life. So we're going to continue this process of building encouragement by talking about how encouragement needs to affect the whole being. If you've missed any of the episodes, you can always catch up over at growinghoperadio.com. And please comment on the shows, like the shows, share the shows. We all need a little more encouragement in our lives. Now, we need encouragement. We need encouragement not only that pushes us to the next level, but we need encouragement that's going to cover our whole selves. We need to be balanced in order to live our best lives. We often think about encouragement as a positive, a kind word, a positive word, a smile, a note in the mail, that kind of thing. And it is important to have that type of encouragement in your lives. But encouragement has to go beyond that. We often forget the need of the body. We think of the heart and the mind, but we don't ever consider the body. We think about encouragement in the action moments, like a coach cheering on the athlete or a friend coming alongside you and helping you with the last bits of that task, like moving. That's really encouraging when somebody comes and helps you move. But we forget the importance of the power that comes from encouragement in rest. Encouragement for the whole being allows for balance. And balance is necessary if you're going to live bold and purposeful lives. Balance is necessary if you're going to stand. I mean, try spinning in circles over and over again and then stand in place and see how well that goes. If you're going to move past just surviving to that point of thriving that we're called to live, then you're going to need balance. And balance takes whole being encouragement. Shortly after launching the whiteboard of world domination, I realized I had a lot of targets. I mean, I was aiming everywhere. Something had to stick, right? It was hard for me to break down my big dream goals into daily tasks because there were so many. And I felt like if I didn't invest every day in each of those goals, then I was failing. I needed to hone my focus. And so I reviewed the list. And as I went over it, I realized when I grouped them together, there really were only four areas that I was targeting. So the first was my aspiration, my work and purpose big dreams. The second was stewardship, the care of the stuff and the resources. The third was transformation, that would be my mind and my body. And the fourth was fellowship, the relationships and the connections that I was making. I kind of shifted the whiteboard of world domination to focus on each of these four areas. And then I utilized the focus folder to break each of the areas down into little bits for each day. And I discovered that I was developing balance in my life. Instead of focusing all of my attention on business, I didn't feel guilty giving time to family or to friends. And the more balanced I became, the easier it was to find encouragement and the encouragement specifically necessary to keep moving towards my big dream goals. When it comes to living encouraged lives, we need the balance to be bold. And the balance comes from focusing on our whole being. So the first thing is encouragement for the heart. That's the spirit, the boldness, if you will, and the willingness that's necessary to try. The second is encouragement for the mind, and that's your intellect, your learning, your thought monitor. The third thing is your body, because we rarely think about encouraging in for the body, but that's your wellness, your strength, your agility, your flexibility, and the health factor. And the fourth thing is encouragement in action, the focus of intentional movement for what needs to be done. And the fifth is encouragement in resting. It's embracing the still moments, the harnessing the quiet, and making space for both of those to occur. A life outside of encouragement looks like a damp, dark day. It may not be hopeless right now, but without encouragement, hopelessness is not far away. And once you fall prey to hopelessness, doing anything, even just surviving, becomes a challenge. Hope grows up through encouragement, and it grows encouragement. And encouraging the heart sets a firm foundation for hope to grow and encouragement to spread. So remember, the first thing is we're going to encourage the heart. The heart is the center of the being. It's the spirit, the life force. We usually think about the heart as the physical source of life to the body, but it's much more than that. It holds the feelings, the emotions, the will. It's the center of who you are and what you're doing. It's the guiding light. When encouragement is withheld from the heart, the light fades every time. And without a guiding light, you can't be sure which way you're going. I attended a writer's conference. I've attended writer's conferences since I started writing professionally. And I always come away encouraged. Even if a publisher did not chase me down and force me to sign a 6-figure contract, which I still expect to happen every time I go to a writer's conference. But even if it didn't happen, I still managed to find something that encouraged me, a connection, a bit of information, something, with one exception. I attended one writer's conference shortly after I discovered podcasting, and I was all excited about turning this newfound love of words shared through spoken opportunities as opposed to written. I was looking for ways to expand, and this particular writer's conference had a session on authors becoming speakers, turning your authorship into a speaker career. And I was thrilled. This is what I wanted. This is perfect timing. This was for me. They did it for me. They read my diary and said, this is what we're going to do. That was my theory. I think a lot of things revolve around me at the writer's conference, in case you haven't figured it out. But I was excited to hear what she had to say. So I went. I took unbelievable numbers of notes, and her presentation gave me so much to think on, and she wanted, and even better, she said, if you have any more questions, I'll be waiting around. You can come up and talk to me. And of course, everybody did. But I stood in line because I had a lot I wanted to talk to her about. This was my dream. I could see me doing it. I looked forward to doing this. So I stood in line. I'm reviewing my notes. I wanted to be able to ask good, solid questions and not waste her time. I almost didn't hear what she was saying to the lady in front of me, but I did hear it. She said, people want to hear from someone who looks like you. She told this to a well-dressed, socially acceptable, fit lady, if you know what I'm saying. And when I looked up, she was looking at me. I know she was. And it was almost with contempt. I felt like it was with contempt. And I heard her loud and clear. People did not want to hear from someone who looked like me because I didn't dress right. I wasn't in shape. I was fat and my pants were ugly. Which goes back to a 14-year-old me at a mall, but that's a whole nother story. It may not be the words that she used, but it was what my heart knew she meant. And with a few words and a quick glance, she literally sucked all the encouragement out of my being. Everything that I had gained up until then was gone. She stripped my dreams of possibilities right then and right there. I couldn't do what I wanted to do until I looked a certain way. My heart was broken, and all the encouragement seeped out of those cracks. I don't remember much else from that particular writers' conference. I mean, how could I? Learning and growing and finding possibilities, they all come from encouragement. And they can't get through a wall of impossibility that's built by discouragement. Encouragement is what makes the way, and I had lost all of my encouragement. A lack of encouragement will break the heart. And a heart broken remembers little more than the pain. A broken heart can't move from where it is, much less move with boldness. The broken has to be fixed first, and the fixing only begins when encouragement is allowed in. You need to feed the heart encouragement, and you need to protect it from the attacks that seek to create those cracks that are going to allow your encouragement to seep out. Often encouragement begins in the head, even when it's meant for the heart. The mind and the thoughts dictate the acceptance or rejection of encouragement, and they even dictate the growth of encouragement. It's been said that what the mind can believe, the man can achieve. Well, encouragement fuels the mind to believe. Without encouragement, doubt takes root, and eventually doubt takes over. So you need to be invested in encouraging the mind. That's the second point. When I was starting my show garden, I took any plants anybody was willing to share. I mean, my budget was a big fat zero, so anything I could get for free, I took. I mean, basically, I put out a sign that says, "We'll work for plants." I invested a lot of sweat equity into acquiring the plants that I needed to fill this 2-acre garden space I had cleared. I had big dreams for this garden. One of the plants that I received came from one of the garden club members, and she told me it was a great ground cover. It's great ground cover, she assured me. I didn't really need ground cover, but I was desperate for plants and to fill in some space, so I was like, oh, okay, we can do this. It only gets 6 inches tall, she told me. I didn't need 6-inch tall plants because it's a 2-acre garden, but it was free. Her only concern was that it was for full shade, and I didn't have a place to put full shade plants. All of our full shade was taken up by native plants. But hey, I listened to what she said, and I promptly ignored her, which I often did with plants. Nature had had rule over my garden. I would put plants in the bed and wish them luck, and if they survived, they got to stay. And if they didn't, oh well, especially when it was traded plants. So this plant went into a place that was almost full sun. It got mid-afternoon shade, and that was about it. Apparently, it did not read the gardening books or listen to my friend as she was explaining its requirements. It ignored its growth potential, and it definitely ignored its size. Once it took root, it literally took over. It spread like fire ants through a field, which is a whole other story, too. But new growth just kept popping up. It just kept popping up everywhere. It popped up in other beds. It popped up in the grass. It popped up where it never had been considered being planting. planted before, and it wasn't a 6-inch ground cover, not in my garden. It was a 6-foot menace, and we couldn't get rid of it. I paid my sons and their friends almost yearly to go and dig up this stupid plant, and it kept coming back. For 2 decades, I fought this plant. The mind is way more fertile than any garden. And the negatives are way more invasive than any plant that I ever planted in my beds. The things we sow in our mind and the seeds that we scatter in there, they're going to take root. And when it's negative stuff that we're being fed or that's being sown in there, it can take decades to get rid of them if they ever go away. Encouragement can help root out the mind weeds, and it's assisted by trust. But the way to avoid getting invaded in the first place is to invest in those encouragement moments. Feed your mind with encouragement that is specific for your unique design. Hang out with others who believe you can. Hang out with others who believe they can, and they have, and they want to see others succeed. Spend time listening to music that inspires or emboldens you. Read words like books and blogs and magazines that are overflowing with encouragement and possibility and hope. You can never have too much hope. Feeding the mind encouragement sets the stage for bold and purposeful living. Where the mind leads, the man will follow. But if we don't encourage the body, we won't be in a position, I mean, quite literally, we can't get in the position to pursue the encouraged mind. So the third thing is to encourage the body. The body determines the amount of action that we can take because we have physical limits in what we can do. If you're too tired or too out of shape or too sore from trying to get in shape, or too unprepared for what lies ahead, then you will end up too little for what you want to do. We're called to be good stewards over all that we've been given, but until right now, until I was preparing for this podcast, I had never imagined or even considered being a good steward over my body. Now, I had read about my body as the temple and all that, and I knew that that reference existed, but I'd never really made the connection of being a good steward over my body the way I had envisioned being a good steward over my property and the words and even my children. I don't know why. I can only guess that I had decided that my body is my body and I get to live in it the way I want to. But it doesn't matter why I looked at it the way I looked at it. Now I can't look at it any other way. Now I know that I am a steward, and I don't want to be in a position in the end where I get a report, a negative report, instead of a good and faithful servant report when it comes to my body. But I'm still calling it my body. I haven't been invested in encouraging my body. Instead, I've fallen into the trap of they. They say to walk and run. They say to eat greens. They say to get 8 hours of sleep. They say a lot. And I listened. But then I thought, you know, if we do a financial audit and we do a time audit, then why not a health audit? So I decided to think about these questions. When did I feel my most comfortable? And why? When did I feel the least comfortable and why? What are the activities I love but no longer do and why don't I do them? When have I felt completely rested in the last 2 weeks and why did I feel that way? Do I currently rely on outside substances to get me going? Coffee, anyone? And finally, what soothes my body? Answering these questions honestly and thoroughly can help us understand what encourages our bodies, our unique physical being, so that we can then invest in encouragement. An encouraged body is a healthy body, a soothed body, and a contented body. And it will look very different on everyone because everybody is unique. The more I understand how the unique body is encouraged, then the more I can encourage that body. And an encouraged body will be conditioned to bring the mind's dreams to fruition. It takes action to live our big dreams. And you need encouragement for, in, and through the action moments. So the fourth thing is to be encouraged in action. Encouragement in action drives us farther than we can go on our own. It's almost as if the encourager pours their energy into our hearts. When we think we can't go on, the encouragement gives us what we need to take the next step. When I think of encouragement in action, I always picture the movie Facing the Giants. Now, there's this one scene where the players are doing what I call the crab walk drill. It's in the middle of practice, and one player is hoisted onto the back of another player, and the second player has to do the crab walk with the weight of the other football player on his back. Just looking at it, I can tell you crab walks are tough. Crab walks with a football player on the back of you, that just seems impossible to me. But the players were doing it, at least for a few yards. The coach knew that they could do better, and he looked for a way to encourage the whole team. So he blindfolded the defensive team captain and had him repeat the drill. So he's blindfolded, gets a player on his back, and then he starts crab walking down the field. And the coach is walking along beside him, encouraging him each step of the way. And then the team joins in to encourage him each step of the way. And even the player on the back is encouraging him. And he's listening to that encouragement, and he's being pushed by that encouragement. And he's no longer hindered by the limitations of his personal vision. He ended up going the full distance of the field instead of just a few yards. He went farther with their encouragement than he could have gone on his own. If you've never seen Facing the Giants, I highly recommend it, if only for this one scene. Because it reminds us that we are so capable of more than we could ever imagine on our own. And it's the encouragement in action that dares us to take it to the next level. But for all the action that gets us there, the downtimes are what make the actions possible. We have to be encouraged in our rest, so we are empowered in our action. The fifth thing is that we need to be encouraged in our rest. I woke up the other morning with a piercing pain shooting through the back of my shoulder. For the life of me, I couldn't figure out what I had done, but I realized quickly that I couldn't do anything without igniting that shooting pain back through my body. My husband really stepped up. He took care of me. He made a place for me to sit and relax. He set up a heating pad. He even made sure that I had easy-to-eat meals that wouldn't require moving that shoulder, and he had drinks there for me throughout the day. He encouraged me in my rest. Too often, we're pushed to push through the pain. We're told to keep going even when it hurts. We're challenged to pull ourselves up by our bootstrings. And how did that saying ever get started? I mean, seriously, have you ever tried to pull anything up by your bootstrings? But pushing through the pain is just one more way to demand that you keep going even when you know you need a break. We have to be willing to listen to our bodies and listen to our unique selves so that we know when we need the rest. And then we have to be willing to take the rest. We need rest. We need quiet time. We need the still moments. You have to find ways to be encouraged in your rest and to make space for that rest. And when you do, you will have what you need to live your best life. Living encouraged happens when the whole of you is encouraged. You have an encouraged heart. You have an encouraged mind. You have an encouraged body. You are encouraged in your actions, and you are encouraged in your rest. When we're fortified in this whole being encouragement, then we become unstoppable. Thank you so much for joining me for today's Growing Hope. Be sure to stop in over at Twitter for the weekly Twitter chat. It's on Wednesday, 12 p.m. Central. Follow the hashtag Growing Hope. We're going to be chatting more about encouragement for the whole body, and we will be facing challenges for each of the points. If you want to learn more about the Focus Folder System, you just head over to focusfoldersystem.com. And if you're ready to build your whiteboard of world domination, the only thing stopping you is you. Join me at whiteboardofworlddomination.com. You can also find at the Focus Folder System, you can find the time audit that I talked about. And I'll be working on developing a free health audit as well. It is important for us to, in our encouragement, to look at where we are, look at what we're doing, and so that we can stay encouraged for where we're going. I would love to take some time and come visit with you, visit with your group. Just message me through one of the contact forms on the website, or you can email me at katherinelang@katherinelang.com. And as always, please feel free to reach out to me on social media or directly through the website, katherinelang.com. Until next time, remember, be blessed and be a blessing.
Thank you for joining us for Growing Hope with Katherine Lang, where we are sharing hope, encouragement, and inspiration to do more. Visit www.katherinelang.com to invite Katherine to be part of your event or to share your own stories of possibility living. Until next time, remember that a seed of hope planted and nurtured will grow up into a world of possibilities.